ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Hey, amigos, you know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Shit. And welcome, friends. It's been a long time coming, amigos, but wouldn't you know it? The Big Till Day is back in full force. Tonight we welcome back our old pal, DJ Montano. And with him comes the sequel to his popular apocalyptic tale, Killer Queen. If you're a new listener, first of all, welcome. Thanks for stopping by, friend. Hope you stick around. The first part aired on Season 3, Episode 6, and you might want to check that out first. Make a real night of it. But if it's still fairly fresh in your memory, here's a brief recap for you. Oh, that's right, Chester. I almost forgot. If y'all haven't heard the news, your old pal Drew Blood has a new show on Saturday nights. If you enjoy this show, Drew Blood's Dark Tales, you can listen to me tomorrow night too on a YouTube channel called Sinister Somnolence. That's Sinister Somnolence. So do me and Chester a huge favor, please. Head on over there to Sinister Somnolence and subscribe for me. You'd be helping us out a ton. My new show is called The Crimson Hour with Drew Blood, and it's a CTFDN-friendly venture, so we'd love to see you there too. Always quick with the out. Anyway, the recap. The initial story follows Zeke and his survivors in a post-apocalyptic Arizona, where genetically modified murder hornets have decimated humanity. Created as weapons by the U.S. government, the hornets broke free from control under their queen, Bloody Mary, and now build nests from human remains while hunting in coordinated swarms. Sounds like a riot. Anyway, after Zeke's father sacrifices himself during a supply run, the group joins Chad, a survivor with an insecticide bomb at Lucas Air Force Base. In a desperate mission to destroy key hornet strongholds, most of the group perishes, including Zeke's aunt and cousin. Only Zeke and his new love Alyssa survive, parachuting to safety near Hellier, Kentucky, where the hornet outbreak began. When last we left you, Zeke and Alyssa have taken shelter in Hellier with nothing but a notebook containing this memoir. Having lost everyone they loved, they prepare to confront Bloody Mary herself, the queen who started it all. Will this pair of survivors finally be able to end the reign of the Killer Queen? Only time will tell. So without further delay, from author DJ Montano, I give you Killer Queen 2. Alyssa and I walked along Highway 195, wading through the fog. The fading moonlight gave an eerie blue tint to the landscape. Dense woods lined both sides of the road, climbing into the mountainous terrain surrounding us. Dead leaves littered the two-lane road. Our footsteps echoed in the oppressive silence. Despite the healthy foliage, the area was completely devoid of life.
I'm surprised Hellier was so small,
Alyssa whispered.
I know. It's a good thing we didn't blink or we would have missed it.
I squinted my eyes in an attempt to see through the trees and dense brush. I scanned for any possible entrance to the cave system. We had been on the move for days now.
Our mission was to find a door to the cave of the Killer Queen. We utilized whatever small structure we could find each day. Some had held up reasonably well, others were little more than tented spaces under collapsed roofs. We used plywood and other debris to block out the murder hornets. If the scouts found us on one of their patrols, we'd be sitting ducks. Even after all these years, it baffled me that some batshit crazy scientist modified a creature that was already going to pose a threat to our food chain. Reports of a flying demon wiping out the bee population that was responsible for so many fruits and vegetables sent fear rippling through the United States when they arrived. Now pump that creature full of some crazy steroids that make it bigger, meaner, smarter, stronger, faster, and full of a poison that is essentially acid. Long story short, this thing makes a black widow or a tarantula hawk look like a cute and cuddly kitty. To destroy the matriarch of these monsters, even if I had to give my life, would give proof I made a difference. This is why we were out on this road through the woods. Though it was the safest time to travel, the pre-dawn hours offered little usable light to decipher between shadows and caves. Stomping through the woods would be tantamount to yelling into a bullhorn. Alyssa and I were only going to get one shot at this.
Zeke. Hello, Earth to Zeke.
Alyssa's agitated whisper shook me back to the present. Yeah, what's up? I said and turned to find her face scrunched into the definition of frustration.
Jeez, how many times do I have to say your name?
Even angry, she had an underlying cuteness that made me melt.
I'm sorry. What is it?
My voice begged forgiveness.
The sky is getting lighter. We need to find shelter.
Yeah, I think you're right. We don't want to push our luck.
I opened the map we had found in an abandoned car.
There's nothing on here for miles. I think we're supposed to be further along than this.
So what are we going to do?
Alyssa swallowed hard, her eyebrows tinted in distress.
Only thing we can do, push forward and hope we find shelter soon.
We picked up our pace and tried to limit the noise as much as possible. I felt anger rise in my gut. I couldn't believe I was putting the last person I had and who I loved so much in danger because I didn't stick to our plan. My father would have done better at this, I thought. How did he keep everyone safe for all those years and within a week I get everyone I know and love killed? I glowered at the desolate woods around me as I searched for cover.
Zeke, you better stop right now,
she said in a sharp tone. I froze and listened for the hum of death.
Dad didn't mean for you to stop walking, you goofball.
Alyssa rolled her eyes at me.
I mean, stop killing yourself over what happened or what your father would have done.
What are you talking about? I'm not.
But the look on her face told me to quit playing dumb.
It's hard not to, you know?
I started when the hairs on the back of my neck popped straight up and my skin tingled. Two words burst in my head like fireworks. They're awake.
We gotta go. Now!
We ran down the empty street, our backpacks bouncing on our backs. The icy hand of death gripped my throat, trying to freeze me in place. I heard a distant hum growing louder. We rounded a bend and saw nothing but forest. No small house or gas stations. Hell, even a broke-down car would have sufficed, but there was nothing. I looked over at Alice as she ran for all she was worth and knew it wouldn't be enough. This was where we were gonna die. The swarm of murder hornets grew closer. I felt the vibrations penetrate my body. Based on some of the scouts I had seen, these things were on a whole nother level. Since they were the purest form of the genetically modified monsters and part of the Killer Queen's hive, they dwarfed ours.
Zeke!
Alyssa cried out.
What should we do?
Tears streamed down her face, her eyes wide with fear. She knew we were screwed. A loud report like a whip crack echoed in the still morning air. The sound of tires squealing on pavement followed the report. We both stopped dead in our tracks and looked back in astonishment. An old 70s Chevy Silverado painted a flat black whipped around the bend. A heavy-duty metal shell welded over the bed of the truck made it look like a tank. Alyssa and I dove opposite directions, each toward the edge of the street to avoid being run over. Thick black marks streaked out from behind the tires as it slid to a stop.
"What the hell are you sitting around for? Get your asses in the back or get dead!"
We locked eyes and sprang to our feet and ran to the rear of the truck. A hatch opened up in the camper shell, and a scrappy-looking Mexican man with a peach-fuzzy mustache reached a hand out. We bolted for the back of the truck.
"Hola, please have your ticket ready or I cannot let you in, gringo. Don't blame me. I don't make the rules, tipo."
He shrugged and smirked.
"Damn it, Jorge. Stop screwing around and let them in."
A woman's voice slurred from the darkness.
"Besides, if that was the rule, we would have never let your scared ass in."
A flowy red mop of wavy red hair came forward. They each gripped a hand and yanked us in. With two hard raps on the cab bulkhead, the truck lunged forward and we were flung back against the tailgate.
"What are they? I hate it when Darnell drives. That cabron always forgets we're back here."
Alyssa and I adjusted ourselves against the tailgate and tried to hold on for dear life.
"If he spills my booze again, I'm going to kick his ass,"
said the redhead with a death grip on her bottle of whiskey. The hum of millions of wings beating grew louder. They were gaining on us. Infrasound bounced off the metal shell and created a baseline that felt like a screwdriver to my eardrums.
"What's up, vato? My name is Jorge. You know, like loose women and the grass you give the horses."
He wore a goofy grin that made him look like this mouse I saw in a Looney Tunes cartoon when I was a kid.
"Hey, Jorge, I'm Zeke, and this is Alyssa,"
I shouted over the god-awful buzz of the swarm.
"This fiery lush is Shirley, like Shirley Temple. You know, like the drink."
Jorge burst out in laughter. I remembered my old man ordering a beer and a Shirley Temple at the sports bar and thinking I was drinking a grown-up drink. We ate Mozzie sticks, drank our drinks, and watched football back before the world went to hell. Shirley cocked back and punched Jorge in the gut.
"Goddamn!
How many times I gotta tell you not to call me that?"
she said with a smirk as Jorge coughed and tried to catch his breath.
"Goddamn!
Remember, Shirley?"
A voice like two dry sticks rubbing together against each other came from a dark corner of the truck bed.
"Strength does not come from physical capacity. It comes from an indomitable will. Mahatma Gandhi,"
an older man said in a grandfatherly tone.
"Oh, of course, Cato. I was just showing Jorge a small sample of my will,"
Shirley cooed.
"It didn't feel like a small sample."
Jorge coughed and spit into the corner of the bed of the truck.
"Hey, old man, maybe lead with the quote that keeps me from getting dicked in the gut next time."
"Perhaps you should install a filter between your thoughts and your mouth to keep yourself from getting punched. After all, those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. George Bernard Shaw."
Alyssa and I shared a look while we got tossed around the truck bed. These people were crazy. Two loud bangs came from the cab bulkhead, and the truck swerved hard to the right, and a gravely crunching followed as we took to a dirt road. Shirley, Cato, and Jorge moved toward the tailgate and readied themselves to make a quick exit from the truck. The truck wound back and forth as it climbed a hill and then skidded to a stop. Jorge pulled a handle rigged to the inside of the tailgate and it fell open.
"Andale! Everyone out!"
he yelled. Alyssa and I tucked and rolled out of the truck and followed two other men into what looked to be a radar station. Cato manned the metal security door reinforced with steel plates. Jorge slammed the tailgate home and sprinted for the door. The sun had crested the horizon. A dark mass undulated in its glow as it rose out of the mountains. Cato slammed the heavy door once everyone was in
and the room was awash in purple-tinted light. Along the perimeter were planters with plastic to trap moisture. Alyssa and I stood in awe of what these people had created.
Wow, this is just... wow,
Alyssa said.
Thank you for...
I started when I heard the click of a hammer being cocked and turned to find the Colt 45 revolver barrel in my face.
Who the hell are you people? And just where the fuck did you come from?
A lean man that reminded me of Blade in both appearance and personality.
Take it easy. We ain't here to cause trouble. I'm Zeke. This is Alyssa. We're trying to find the entrance to the cave where the Killer Queen is living, I said, my eyes locked on his and doing everything I could to appear non-threatening.
Why did you pick us up if you thought we were a threat? I asked. I used my right hand and moved Alyssa behind me ever so slowly.
Couple of things. This gun packed enough punch to go through both of your skulls at once. All you did was save me a bullet if things go sideways. Secondly, you didn't answer my question.
His eyes narrowed.
Where did you come from? We've been running these roads for nearly a year now, scarcely seeing another living soul. That is very suspicious. Now talk,
he said, with the hammer still cocked and the barrel inches from my face.
We flew here from Arizona,
I started.
Bullshit,
he growled. Sweat glistened off his forehead as the small building began to warm with the sunrise.
Where's the plane?
It's a pile of rubble to the southwest of Hellier. Our pilot died while we attempted to flee. The murder hornets came in through the bomb doors of this old World War II bomber after we dropped our payload.
I spent the next 10 minutes explaining everything while he kept the gun trained on my forehead.
So even after surviving all of that, you're trying to find the queen of the Needlers and kill her?
Shirley slurred and wobbled.
Well, yeah,
I said, a bit confused by the question.
Some dumbasses are always trying to touch the sun with wings made of wax,
the stoic leader grumbled.
Seems like having a Navy SEAL for a father made you think you're invincible.
I don't know about wax wings, but they're loco en la cabeza,
Jorge said.
That's a damn suicide mission, ese. I mean, how the hell would they even get close to her without the whole damn hive going nuts, Darnell?
Jorge looked at his leader with genuine intrigue.
Simple. They wouldn't,
Darnell said as he holstered his revolver and turned towards the back of the building. He dropped down on one knee and grabbed a thick steel ring and heaved. A metal hatch opened up to a stone shaft that descended into pure darkness. Alyssa peeked over my shoulder at the black hole that seemed to swallow the light and shivered.
We're not going down there, are we?
She whispered, not quiet enough, although there wasn't a quiet enough volume to not be heard in that small space.
You're welcome to stay up here,
Darnell said, giving her a side-eyed glare.
However, the Needlers have had scouts break in. This steel plate isn't on here for looks.
He then lowered himself into the cavern. One by one, the others descended the rope ladder into the hole. Alyssa sat on the edge and found the ladder with her foot. She looked down into the void and back up at me, her face awash of apprehension.
It'll be okay,
I said to her as much as to myself.
I'm right here and I'd never let anything or anyone hurt you.
Her eyes locked on mine. With a deep breath and a nod, she descended.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Echoey footfalls bounced off the stone walls all around us. How the hell were they navigating the darkness effortlessly?
Any day now, seal pup,
Darnell said.
We need that steel hatch closed.
His voice was a thin chord of annoyance. My brow furrowed at the verbal jab.
Where's the light switch? Or are we supposed to develop night vision?
I said in a snarkier tone than I should have taken with someone who just saved my ass, but I couldn't help that I found him abrasive.
Close the damn hatch and you'll find out, smartass,
he growled. I bit my tongue and choked down the snide remark and grabbed the rebar handle welded to the inside of the hatch. I looked into the pit I had just sent the love of my life into with people we barely met, and now I was supposed to just trust them. This must have been how the people we rescued felt entering the bunker. It was how Alyssa probably felt, and now I was putting her through it again. I gripped the wooden rung of the ladder, and with a heave, I pulled the lid closed and plunged us all into darkness. A blood-curdling scream shredded my eardrums seconds after I closed the hatch. The rope ladder shook violently, and I called down to Alyssa.
Are you okay? Alyssa! Answer me!
Who's touching my leg?
Damn it, Darnell, what's going on here? If you hurt her, I'll...
Amber lights flickered on to reveal a cavern that was quite large. I looked down at the bottom of the ladder to see a cat. It rubbed against Alyssa's calf and meowed for attention.
It's just a damn cat. You two are quite jumpy,
Darnell groaned. Alyssa stepped down off the ladder and bent down to pet the black and gray cat.
The first time Princess Permuth has ever scared someone that bad.
Shirley chuckled and hiccuped. Alyssa gave a quizzical look.
What is the cat's name? Permuth. You know, like vermouth, the liquor.
She swayed and knocked back a large swig of her whiskey.
Sorry, I'm not much of a drinker,
she said and returned to petting the feline. I reached the bottom and scanned the enormous cavern. All the loose rocks stood against the edges, leaving a reasonably level floor area. Cots staged neatly around the room with sheets on clotheslines segregating individual quarters.
How come you waited so long to turn the lights on? That how you get your kicks, Darnell?
Anger flared up in me quickly.
The sensor on the lid must be messing up again. I'll look at it,
he said with an icy flat look.
How do you have actual lighting down here?
I grumbled.
We've rigged together solar panels and batteries. It could be glitchy, as you've seen, but it works for the most part. Better than being out there, though, right?
He shot a glance up at the hatch, then turned and headed to his bunk and closed the curtain behind him.
He seems very...
She paused and fished around for the missing word.
Abrasive,
she whispered, but the sound carried in the cavern. Jorge laughed loudly and the others joined in.
He ain't no fluffy clown, that's for sure. Darnell can be an asshole sometimes, but he ain't never done me wrong when it counts, comprende?
He said with a grin.
Come on, lovebirds. I think we got a couple of extra cots over here, and there might be just enough room in the back of the cave.
We took some time to get ourselves situated and get a good look at our surroundings.
This is really incredible. I didn't think a cave could be so beautiful.
Alyssa beamed as she scanned the ceiling dotted with stalactites bathed in amber light.
It's incredible. And we were really lucky they found us. We'd be swarm food right now if they hadn't stopped.
She nodded in agreement, and we unloaded our backpacks to settle in. There was just something about Darnell that rubbed me the wrong way. A high-pitched whistle cut through the air effortlessly. I recalled my old man's whistle. I remember thinking I could be clear on the other side of the planet, and I'd probably be able to hear it. It's funny how distorted your perception of the world is as a child.
Hey, Ezekiel, let me show you around,
Jorge said as he waved me over.
It's Zeke. Yeah, which is short for Ezekiel. Duh, I'm not an idiota, man,
he said as he laughed off my correction.
No, I mean my parents didn't name me the full name. They just named me Zeke. It makes sense? What the?
He said, actually taken aback.
Nah, Vato. That makes no sense at all. Why would your parents not give you the better of the two names? I mean, Ezekiel sounds like some royalty type shit,
he said enthusiastically. Couldn't tell you. I wasn't there. I mean, I was, but I was a baby, you know. I said and gave him a light nudge with my elbow.
Screw that, man. I'm calling you Ezekiel.
He nudged back.
If you ladies are done braiding each other's hair, we can get to the show on the road.
Shirley sloshed and warbled her way over to us.
What a lay, chill Shirley. This ain't no hard knock life.
Jorge retorted with a shit-eating grin.
Actually, that's all it is,
Alyssa said. We looked around at each other and burst out laughing. We spent the next hour or so touring our new home. Jorge and Shirley took turns explaining how the planters worked, how and where we could get water, and the general state of the surrounding area. The hornets had hit so fast that many resources didn't have time to be hoarded. A wonderful smell filled the cavern, and I noticed Cato over in the corner by a Weber kettle grill.
What do we have here?
I peered into a pot he had on the grill.
We'll be having stew composed of carrots and potatoes grown here for a special treat. We have some rabbit and squirrel meat.
Pride oozed out of his gruff voice as though he had cooked a brilliant five-course meal.
Well, I can't say that I've had rabbit or squirrel, but it smells delicious, I said with a smile. A feast to delight the senses.
Cato glowed and sipped the broth.
Ah, a pinch more salt and rosemary, and it should be perfect.
Jorge and Shirley gave us the full tour and explained their water collection and farming setups, which, quite frankly, went over my head. After a wonderful dinner, which did indeed delight the senses, as Cato put it, we retired to our cots. I looked over to find Alyssa passed out only seconds after her head hit the pillow. Despite her feelings towards me, I know the last couple of weeks have been hard on her, and I have pushed her to her limit. A place to rest without fear of the monstrous murder hornets getting you in your sleep. Now that is a paradise. Sleep came quickly to me as well, but it was anything but peaceful. Memories of my father being stung by a couple of scouts, and the bastards that entered in the Bombay doors and took the rest of my people. Even in a safe place, faces twisted in anguish haunt my dreams. I woke early and went to the table to look over my map. A noise over my shoulder startled me. I reached for my hunting knife to find it missing.
Having trouble sleeping in our humble dwelling?
Darnell spoke low but clear.
Seems as though you don't trust the hoax who saved your asses.
His voice holding as sharp an edge as my hunting knife clutched in his hand.
That's funny. You standing at my back with my hunting knife gripped tight would lead me to believe you're not as gracious a host as I thought you were at dinner.
My voice matching his intensity.
Just trying to avoid an unfortunate altercation this morning.
Darnell smirked as I turned around.
Wow, I'm an idiot. I forgot approaching from behind with a deadly weapon is how you avoid conflict.
A thick current of sarcasm oozed from my tone. His smirk grew into a wolfish grin.
Well, I would hate for you to feel unwelcome here.
Apparently he spoke sarcasm fluently, which pissed me off more than it should have.
So you plan on doing something with my knife? Or are you just going to stand there in your tough guy pose?
The moment stretched for eons. Neither of us gave an inch.
Finally, someone with a spine,
he said, and flipped the knife over and caught the blade. He extended the handle toward me. I gripped the knife to take it from him, senses still on alert.
Too bad it's attached to an empty skull.
Darnell stepped back. I slid the blade home into its sheath.
What the hell is your problem with me?
I growled and tried to restrain the anger building.
I just never met someone in the end of the world who was trying to throw themselves right at death's door,
he said as he approached the table and surveyed my map.
Yeah, well, you didn't witness what I did. There's no way you could know what drives me. Cause what? You're the only one who has lost something? I'll tell you what I do know. Your woman is either crazy, stupid, or crazy, stupid in love.
He spoke so matter-of-fact, it was as if he had told me the sky was blue.
Probably just stupid, though.
My eyes burned with anger and magma coursed through my veins. I ripped a knife from its sheath and had it pressed against his jugular in half a heartbeat.
Shut your fucking mouth!
My voice reverberated off the cave walls and startled the others awake.
You don't know a thing about her. Do not disrespect her, or be prepared to have your throat sliced open.
I watched his artery bulge and pulse against the knife's blade.
Well. You do actually give a shit about her,
he said with a smirk.
No shit, Sherlock. What the hell would make you think otherwise?
I pressed the blade against his neck harder.
Whoa, calmate!
Jorge barked as he came running up in his white undershirt and boxers.
Ezekiel, coole. Let's talk this out, man,
he said with outstretched hands.
Darnell running his damn mouth is the reason he has a knife against his throat, so I'm not sure talking is the best idea in this situation.
I glared out of the corner of my eye.
It's true,
Darnell said through gritted teeth.
Apparently the seal pup is a bit of a hothead.
Despite his calm and cool temperament, the artery in his neck pumped furiously. Cato, Shirley, and Alyssa ran over to see the quarrel.
Hey, if you guys want to get your asses killed, far be it for me to stop you. In fact, I'll even help you.
Babe, please put the knife down,
Alyssa said with tear-filled eyes that threatened to burst.
What do you mean?
I growled and loosened the bite of the knife ever so slightly.
I mean, I know where the cave is. We all do. We try our damnedest to stay away from it, but if you want to dance with the Reaper, who am I to stop you?
Is he lying?
I said, my eyes darted from face to face.
Nah, he ain't lying.
Jorge deflated as he spoke.
We all know where it is. There's a cave system just outside of Somerset. It's about 3 hours from here.
His eyes bored into the stone floor. My gaze flipped to Cato and Shirley. Each face morphed into a mask of misery.
That's where Darnell found us, man. We lived in Somerset.
Jorge's voice was dry and flat, like the mere mention of the place was draining the life from him.
Each of us was little more than a corpse when he found us.
I was ready to die,
Shirley cut in.
We all watched those monsters devour everyone we loved.
Tears rolled down her cheeks.
I watched those fucking demons descend upon my little boy. They filled his tiny body with their poison as he screamed. God, the screams never stop. They lifted his lifeless body off the playground at his school and took him away forever.
Her whole body quivered with sadness and anger. My hand and the knife fell limp at my side. Why didn't you try to save him? The voice in my head screamed, but I could already see she blamed herself. It's why she drank the way she did, to silence the screams.
It's not just to keep his screams at bay,
she said, as if she had been following along with the voice in my head.
It's also because of what I did next.
Shirley hung her head in shame and sobbed.
Here you see.
Cato picked up where she left off.
Shirley and her husband heard the emergency broadcast on the radio. The DJ rattling off details about swarms of killer hornets attacking anything that moved.
Alyssa pulled Shirley close, her attention locked in on the story. She had such a soothing personality, a calming presence like nothing I have ever felt. I loved that about her.
Our dearest friend and her husband raced towards the elementary school to grab little Zane from his kindergarten class. No sooner had they screeched up to the curb when a swarm poured around the building, stabbing Zane in the back.
Cato placed a hand over his heart as he bowed his head.
Within seconds, a small, frail hand surrounded by a writhing mass of death was all that was visible. Shirley tried to get out of the car, but her husband locked the door and held her seatbelt latch in place. She clawed and scratched at his hands in an attempt to get him to release her. However, her efforts were in vain. Zane was gone. Having borne witness to the loss of her only child, she railed against the man who had just lost his son and was unwilling to lose too. Our companion noticed he hadn't buckled in. The picture of what happened next had taken shape in my mind even before Cato spoke the words, and I couldn't help but view her with disdain. My stomach soured as he continued. She reached around him and wept, her heart shattered as the winged menaces feasted on her little boy's corpse. After a tight embrace, his grip relaxed. She snatched the door handle, and using the full force of her fury, she shoved him from the truck. Cato looked at Shirley, his brow furrowed mournfully. She took a deep breath and looked up.
After I shoved them out, those demons followed them to the cave system outside of town. The queen waiting at the mouth of the cave and gorged on the bodies that were dropped before her.
She shuddered in revulsion at the memory.
I wanted him to feel what our son felt. I watched him suffer. I realized my temper and grief had doomed my best friend and my love. The death of my son and the guilt of murdering my husband won't let me rest peacefully. It's why I'm a drunk. It's also how I know Darnell isn't lying. I'm the one that told him about it.
Shirley deflated, and Cato caught her and set her gently in a chair.
I'm so sorry,
Alyssa said as she wiped the tears. This is why I want to destroy these things. They've taken so much from all of us. I'm not asking any of you to march into the cave with me to their death. I just need the location. I looked from face to face and pleaded for the info I desperately wanted. Alyssa approached me and wrapped me tightly in a warm embrace.
Why are you so hell-bent on doing this? I thought we would quit searching now that we're safe against all odds. We found more survivors, a secure place to rest. Hell, they're even growing food. We've stolen a chance to make a life out of a really shitty situation.
I understand, but...
Shut up and listen to me, Zeke.
She startled everyone as her voice echoed off the cave walls. It goes without saying that we understand. Hadn't known each other long, but I didn't know this assertive side of her existed. In a weird way, it kinda turned me on.
Everyone I have ever loved is gone. By some miracle, you and your father found and rescued me. And now I'm falling in love with you too. And you want to go off and get yourself killed. I guess I'm just not good enough for anyone to want to stick around. So go ahead. Get your stupid location and go.
The dam that held her welled up emotions at bay could take no more and burst. She buried her face in her hands and trotted off. She wobbled on the uneven floor of the cave as she headed towards our cots. Shirley shot me a scowl and headed after her.
Hey, man, even if you make it to the mouth of the cave, they'll kill you before you even make it in,
Jorge said once the ladies were out of earshot.
Ain't nobody got enough firepower to take that cave.
Well, that's not exactly true, I mumbled.
You know you got some balls on you,
Darnell huffed as he leaned against the table with the map on it.
We save you, dumbass, bring you into our shelter, feed you, and you're skeptical of us when you're the one hiding info.
His eyes were wide in astonishment.
Unfucking believable,
he grumbled. A shameful feeling washed over me and I looked down in embarrassment. A high-pitched whistle from Jorge snapped me out of it.
Hey, Ezekiel, what ain't you telling us, man? Like, why don't you trust us? I thought we were homies.
Jorge looked genuinely hurt. Aside from Darnell being an asshole, these people, by all appearances, were nice.
My old man would be embarrassed by my behavior. I grumbled and stowed my knife. I'm sorry, I've been a real dick. You guys don't deserve it, I said, and looked at each of them in the eyes to convey my sincerity.
No shit, Sherlock,
Darnell huffed. Let me rephrase that. Cato and Jorge don't. You, on the other hand, deserve a little of it, since you dish it out too.
Darnell considered the statement, then nodded and conceded the point.
Would you care to illuminate your plan?
Cato signed, annoyed with the delay.
Okay. According to my old man, there was an extremely powerful pesticide primed for the hive. It was a failsafe installed in case the swarm ever got out of control.
Hey, Ezekiel, not to burst your bubble, man, but it didn't work on me.
I would have to concur,
Cato agreed.
The swarm is most definitely out of control.
Your old man sounds like a screw-up or a coward,
Darnell muttered.
Hey, you better watch your goddamn mouth. I ain't so fond of you, I won't still slit your throat.
A long silence hung in the air. The tension was thick and oppressive.
Let me be clear. My father was a war hero and a great man. His role at the Hive was security and threat mitigation from external threats. If the breach alarm sounded, the protocol was to evacuate. So he did. Make sense?
Darnell gave a begrudged nod.
Now, I know there's no chance the control panel or the key is an option, but there has to be a main supply line feeding the sprinkler system. If I can blow the function on the pipe, I can flood the cave and kill that bitch.
I scanned around to each face and tried to get a lead on their thoughts.
Hey, I think you forgot the part where you make it into the cave without getting turned into a screaming pincushion.
Jorge clapped me on the shoulder and clamped down, a stern look on his face.
So, Harry Houdini.
His tone oozed with sarcasm as he gave me air quotes.
What's your plan for making it in? You got some invisibility cloak or some shit?
Well, simply put, my plan was to smoke out the cave to cover up my movements, I said, trying to sound fully confident.
Are you freaking crazy, man?
Jorge bellowed with wide-eyed surprise.
What a moron,
Darnell said.
They ain't bees, dumbass. They aren't gonna get all passive and just let you walk in and kill their queen.
The smoke is just to cover my movements, I started.
Hey, amigos, pump the brakes. I got an idea. When I was a little niño, my padre used to put these smoke sticks in the ground hornet's nest. You know, the normal hornets, not the end of the world kind. I remember I used to think it was a stick of dynamite.
I know what those are,
Cato perked up.
We use them on gophers and groundhogs. They're basically poisonous sulfur gas. We could hit every hardware store and home improvement box store from here to Somerset to collect every stick we find. In batches of 10 to 20, we can effectively make big-ass smoke bombs. Pardon my French.
He mumbled something to himself about not needing to cuss.
Hell yeah, we could, for sure, man.
Jorge chimed in exuberantly.
I'm sorry, but when did Zeke's dumbass idea become a good one? Or our problem, for that matter?
Their stoic leader huffed.
Hey, come on, bro. Do you really think he can pull this off without our help?
My new compadre appealed.
I don't think he can do it with your help either. I'm telling you, it's a suicide mission either way.
Darnell stared daggers at us.
So how exactly are you going to release the pesticide so it can flood the chamber?
Look, the sprinkler system is routed throughout the ceiling of the cave. If I can hit the main valve on the supply line with a high-powered rifle, I can release the poison and kill this bitch.
I locked eyes with Darnell. My resolve was unshakable. He stood and pondered everything for a moment, then turned his attention to my map.
Okay,
he said in a jovial tone. He grabbed a red marker and scribbled an X and an arrow down.
Here is where the mouth of the cave is. You idiots want to go get yourselves killed? Then have at it. I haven't worked this hard to stay alive to go and chuck it in the trash. I'm done here.
He dropped the marker, turned without another word, then strode off toward his bed. The click-clack of his steps echoed in the wake of his departure.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social.
He's right, Zeke. Even if we kill the queen of this colony, what then? These monstrous creatures are everywhere. We won't even make a dent. I'm sorry, but to me, that isn't a worthy cause to sacrifice oneself for.
Cato patted my shoulder with a somber look and shuffled off.
They're right, Jorge. There's no reason you need to get yourself killed for someone you barely know.
It was true. I knew I had almost zero chance of making it out alive. Shoot, I had an almost 0% chance of making it in alive.
Yo, Ezekiel, man. If it ain't gonna make a difference in the big picture, why are you, like, ready to die for it, man?
I looked at Jorge, and there was a real curiosity in his expression. He hadn't meant it to be snarky, sarcastic, or even rhetorical. He cared.
It's gonna sound really stupid, but my father died on a fuel run for his mission to kill the Queen Hornet. Now that I'm this close, I have to destroy the nest. Otherwise, his death was for nothing.
Tears filled my eyes, and I wiped them away as quick as I could. The last thing I needed was to have a full meltdown.
Psst, come on, man. You thought that was a stupid reason? That's actually a damn good reason.
It's not?
I asked with surprise.
What a lay, Holmes. It's a great reason. It means your old man raised a good, honorable, and brave man.
His words nearly broke me. It was like being Atlas, and here was this stranger lifting the world off my shoulders to give me a break.
You know, my papa could be a mean SOB, and there were times when I just wanted to knock his ass out. One night, he goes out on a supply run, you know? When I woke up the next morning, it wasn't him kicking my feet. That was the gentlest way he knew how to wake me.
A smile bloomed across his face with a chuckle and withered just as quick.
Sounds like a man my old man would have become real fast friends with,
I said with a sorrowful smirk. He gave a nod and continued.
About a week went by, and drinkable water was going to be an issue soon. I decided to head out even though I was terrified. 3 or 4 blocks away, I found my papa. His body, frozen in an anguished silent scream. Chunks of flesh missing all over. He looked like something out of an old zombie movie.
Tears streaked down his face.
He had pieces of jawbone and teeth exposed. Ears, tongue, eyeballs devoured by the hornets. There was just enough left to know it was him. I knew he was gone when he didn't come home after the second night. It didn't make it hurt any less, you know?
I did. Knowing someone was lost versus seeing it just cut different.
The next couple of months were a dark place. I finally realized he pushed me because he wanted the best for me. Even in this shit show of a world we have left. He also knew there would be a day he wasn't gonna be here, and he wanted me to be ready.
He abruptly threw a hug on me. I froze for a second or so and returned the embrace.
I believe my padre would want me to help you. So that's what I'm gonna do, Ezekiel.
Thank you, is all I could muster.
We broke up the love fest and got down to planning our route to Somerset. My new compadre's knowledge of the area was a godsend. we were able to mark about a dozen home improvement stores along the route, three of which were the larger box store variety. We decided it would be best to leave once the sun had finally set that evening. We spent about an hour heaving our supplies up the ladder to the ranger station that had been converted to a greenhouse. Once we stationed all our supplies by the door, I looked through a tiny gap in the window's armor. I felt the low hum of a swarm somewhere nearby and retreated down below to catch a few hours of shut-eye. This would be our last moment of peace before we set out to assassinate the killer queen. I approached my cot and Alyssa stormed off. Shirley just looked and shook her head at me.
Maybe,
I nodded.
But maybe hating me will make it easier to mourn me and move on.
I sighed as I sat on my cot.
It doesn't. Trust me, I know.
Her voice quivered and a tear rolled down. She turned and called after Alyssa. I laid down and expected to find sleep difficult to capture. To my astonishment, I was out from the moment my head hit the pillow. A myriad of dreams flowed through the movie screen of my subconscious. In no time, Jorge was waking me up.
Hey, compa,
he said as he shook me. A high-pitched whistle hit the back of my brain like a sledgehammer.
Come on, man, it's time to go. Vamanos.
All right, keep your pants on.
I sat up and slid my feet into my boots without even realizing it, stood and gathered the knife, belt, and canteen I would take with me. I didn't even know my boots were on and tied until I hit the leg of the cot with my foot. It's crazy that you can become so automatic that your brain doesn't even recall doing it. I gave one last look at my bunk as I turned to face forward. Alyssa was before me.
Don't say anything yet, Zeke.
Her voice was a steel beam.
A small part of me understands this. Most of me doesn't.
Alyssa.
Hey, what did I tell you? Don't say anything yet. As I was saying, most of me doesn't. Selfishly, none of me wants you to go.
The steel began to soften, and I detected a light quiver in her voice.
However, I understand how important your father was to you. He's part of the reason I'm still alive. So, for that reason, I won't try to stop you. Just don't die. You understand?
I nodded.
I swear if you do, I'll find you and kill you again.
She poked my chest in a firm but playful manner.
Hey, chica, don't sweat it. He's under the protection of Jorge Mercia. Only way he could be safer is if he was wearing bulletproof undies.
Each of us gave a dry, hollow laugh.
I guess it's time. Or burning moonlight.
The words were mine, but they felt forced. Suddenly, I didn't want to leave her side. I looked her up and down and drank her in. We wrapped each other in a tight embrace. Each one tried to mask the sniffles as the tears fell. I lifted her chin and kissed her like it was the first time all over again.
Orale, that was like a kiss right out of some gooey romance movie.
He said as he ran his hands through his slicked back hair and gave a seductive eyebrow wiggle. We both blushed in an instant and gave each other a bashful smirk. Jorge and I walked to the ladder and said our final goodbyes. We ascended out of the cavern, grabbed our supplies, and loaded up in a van that Aunt Azzy would have been ashamed to ride in.
Well, she ain't no battle cab, but I guess she'll do, I said.
What you mean battle cab, man?
Apparently loud enough for my compadre to hear.
But my crazy aunt named her van Battle Cat. She had it all modded out, and it was pretty badass.
In my head, I could hear her making a snarky-ass comment about my new ride, and then cracking up to her own stupid joke. It made me smile.
You're talking about that crazy green tiger from He-Man?
Jorge said after he threw the last of the bags in the back.
Yeah, she loved that show.
That show was okay. I really liked the Thundercats. Lion-O was the shit. Thunder, thunder, Thundercats, ho!
He mimicked the moves to perfection with his imaginary sword of omens. He slammed the back door, then winced as the sound echoed through the night.
Are you crazy? You want to wake the singers?
I growled.
Oh, shit! My bad!
He chuckled. We finished loading up and got on the road. Jorge drove through the night with a controlled urgency. We raided about a dozen hardware and gardening stores before we found a secure garage to hunker down. The familiar buzz of the hives waking up filled the air. We bungee-corded a tarp over the top of the van to block out the windows. We weren't about to take any chances of being discovered by a scout team. By all accounts, we thought the building was closed off, but we both knew better. These winged demons were smart bastards. We alternated sleeping and watch shifts. During our watch shifts, we would take the gopher gasser sticks and wrap them in bundles of a dozen at a time using duct tape. We also added makeshift handles for easier handling. There was no way to splice the fuses together, so we would have to be quick with our propane torches. As night approached, Jorge had a realization about a flaw in the plan.
Hey, homie, what about breathing?
His face held a look of genuine confusion.
Well, it's really easy, man. You breathe in, then you breathe out.
Got it? I asked in a smart-ass tone. His face may as well have been the emoji with two flat lines for eyes and a flat mouth.
Well, thanks for clearing that up, asshole.
He rolled his eyes.
I mean, when we were in the cave and this shit is blowing all around us.
He gestured to the gassers with a look around you stupid look on his face.
Oh.
I exaggerated sarcastically, like I already knew what he meant. I hadn't.
Are there any military supplies around here? Maybe we'll get lucky and find a couple of gas masks.
I nodded with a false sense of optimism.
Not likely, man. Lots of people around these parts were doomsday preppers. They would have cleaned them out.
I knew it was a long shot, but he didn't have to crap all over my idea right away.
But hey, maybe we'll get lucky,
he said in the cheeriest Cholo accent I had ever heard. The next evening, we uncovered the van and got back on the road. We only had two more stores to hit. Then we would take our chances with the military surplus store. We acquired about another three dozen gassers, but came away empty-handed from the gas mask lottery.
I'm telling you, man, these people were serious preppers. Lots of good that did them. We're all that remains on this godforsaken planet. No offense, big guy.
He said and made a quick sign of the cross. He put the exclamation mark on it as he kissed his fingers and pointed to the sky.
A reckless band of misfits who are marching into the Grim Reaper's maw.
Well, to be fair, only two idiots are dumb enough to attempt that march, I said with a chuckle. I couldn't tell if he really believed in an all-powerful, loving man in the clouds or if he merely made the sign out of habit. All the evidence in my lifetime had pointed to the contrary. It wasn't a subject I was interested in pursuing. We began to reach the edge of Somerset, and the fear gripped my throat. Fit with a ghostly glow from the quarter moon, a gnarled and overwhelming town emerged. A grotesque mixture of human and animal bones gave structure to the vacant murder hornet apartments. Skulls that had their flesh picked clean long ago yawned open in a perpetual scream as they sat atop jagged spires. Despite the construction of this monstrosity being completed long ago, a rotten and sallow scent hung in the air like clumpy milk. Every one of the nine layers of hell must smell this horrid, I thought as I crept along down the road.
I wonder why there aren't any hornets in these nest structures.
My voice came out like a thin squeak from a teen hitting puberty. I cleared my throat and hoped Jorge would acknowledge it.
They've been gone for years now. I don't think there's enough food around here to sustain how big the hive got, man.
His accent came out thick in a whisper. I nodded my head. It seemed to make sense. Plus, I was happy he let the voice thing slide.
By the way, homie, you didn't tell me your balls just dropped. Just so you know,
You're gonna start growing hair in funny places. No problem, though. Tio Jorge is here, man.
I rolled my eyes. Gee, thanks. The words came out coated in a thick layer of sarcasm.
Hey, no problem, hijo. Pretty soon you're gonna start liking girls, too. Or boys. Tio Jorge isn't here to judge, man.
A big shit-eating grin on his face.
Just keep an eye out for any scouts hiding in the structures, dumbass.
I feigned annoyance, then smirked. The witty banter felt good, but left a dull aching in my soul. It felt like stretching a pulled muscle. I stared out the passenger side window into the oppressive darkness. Memories of Tommy and Azzy, hell, even Caden and his weird forms of banter whirled around in my head like a damn tornado. I had tried to push it down and bury it. Tried to focus ahead, but here was everything torn open again. It was like having stitches tear apart slowly. I shook the memory from my mind the best I could.
So what are we gonna do, man?
He looked over at me, genuinely wondering.
I wish we had thought about that earlier, you know? Like before we were in the belly of the beast.
Well, it's too damn late for that. So how about less use of your boca and more use of your ojos? I shot him a wink and went back to scanning the melded brick and honeycomb structures. We approached an intersection and swept our jumbo ultraviolet lights back and forth. The nest lit up in brilliant neon green color. They had an almost hypnotic effect, along with a rustic beauty. If they hadn't housed so many of the malevolent bastards that devoured damn near everything, I might have respected the craftsmanship. On the opposite corner stood the mutilated remnants of a fire station.
There! I exclaimed. Maybe we'll get lucky and find something there.
Jorge slowly accelerated in the direction I was pointing and found a way to park with a quick getaway in mind.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social.
Hey, homie, you want to wear the dragon or should I?
Cord stood out on his forearms as he lifted the homemade flamethrower. No, it seems like you've got it handled. Plus, you've got way more practice handling it than I do. I turned toward the station doors. There was just enough room for us to get one of the doors open. I scanned the surroundings one more time to be safe. The firehouse looked like it was caught between two different universes. In truth, it was. It would never be what it had been before. And just like that, it hit me all at once. Humanity would soon be extinct. A high-pitched whistle brought me back.
Hey man, you waiting for a goddamn invitation or what?
Jorge shouted in a whisper. He stood there, flamethrower in hand, ready to breach and clear the room. I nodded apologetically and pulled on the door. It remained frozen for one long moment. Years of rust and buildup fought to keep the door sealed. Finally, it broke free and screamed with a harsh metallic squeal. We froze and scanned our perimeter, our ears strained to listen for any sign we had woken up the hornets. Nothing. We entered to find what may as well have been a fire station in hell. Skeletal corpses sealed in time. Frozen in eternal anguish. I wanted to get in and out. We moved quite efficiently through the ruins of the firehouse. While I searched every nook and cranny for anything that could be of use, Jorge kept an eye on our surroundings, and the dragon primed to breathe fire if need be. Fortune shone down on us when we found a pair of scuba setups. They were more than adequate for our mission. We took some of the coats and jackets as well. Some protection is better than no protection, as my old man used to say.
In less than 20 minutes, we were back on the road. We passed through the heart of Somerset in silence. Though it was a quaint town of about 12,000 people before all hell broke loose, it was now a hellscape dystopian nightmare. The beautiful old brick buildings gave way to the grotesque insectile makeover. I could see it as it might have been before it was devoured. Middle-aged couples walking the streets while they window shopped. Little boys and girls dragged their parents into the candy store on the corner. In the blink of an eye, that vision melted away and was replaced with one that was far more gruesome. I could see those same boys and girls as they were dragged away from their parents, kicking and screaming. Stingers plunging into their backs, their necks, hell, even their eye sockets. I shut my eyes and turned away from the corner as we passed. The screams of children echoed in my head. We cleared the city limits and drove through a heavily wooded area on an old dirt road that was almost completely overgrown. We crept along, trying desperately to minimize our sound output. As we made our arduously slow approach, goosebumps rippled across my body like a tsunami wave. The hum of the hive at work was being funneled towards the mouth of the cave and blasted out like a bullhorn. It was a wonder we hadn't noticed it earlier. We finally arrived at the mouth of the cave, our entrance into hell. The vibrational frequency coming from the cave was maddening. It sounded like the entire hive was buzzing around in there.
Bro, this humming's gonna give me a splitting headache. Then grab the duffel bags and let's get in there already.
Truth be told, I was no more eager to get in gear than he was. The chances of us walking back out of the cave were almost non-existent. We slipped the tanks for our breathing apparatuses on and cinched the straps tight. I opened the sliding door to the can as slow as I could in hopes of emitting as little sound as possible. We stepped out gingerly and unloaded the duffels. Each duffel had about a dozen or so bundles and one mega bundle of about 25 sticks.
Shit!
Jorge exclaimed in a whisper.
We fucked up, homie.
His face was a pale mask of fear.
What? What's wrong? We didn't bring anything to blow the lines for the insecticide.
His voice quivered in anger.
Well, we can use the flamethrower to roast her ass,
I retorted quickly.
We can't carry the dragon and the air tanks,
he said, panic creeping into his voice. We stood before the cave of death, desperately trying to solve the issue. No matter how we looked at it, we would have to leave something behind.
We don't have a choice. It's gonna have to stay,
I mumbled solemnly.
That's crazy! We'll be completely defenseless,
he barked back a little too loud.
We're just gonna have to put our faith in the sulfur sticks and make one hell of a cloud around us.
I strained to keep my voice below a whisper.
We'll save one full bag to use on the queen alone. That's it? That's your entire plan, compa? Just make an enormous cloud around us?
His eyes were wide with astonishment.
You got a better plan? Or can we do this before they come pouring out of the cave and we die for nothing?
I gave him a hard, cold look that I knew he didn't deserve. The reality was, the longer we stood there, the more I wanted to jump back in the van and rush back to Alyssa.
Look, we have 3 full duffels. We try to conserve as many of the bundles as we can until we get to the heart. Once we have eyes on the queen, unzip and light them up. Then we haul ass out of the cave and get the hell out of here.
He pondered the proposition for a minute, then gave a stern nod, and that was it. We were doing it. I slung the bag straps over my head in a crisscross pattern and began to march into the mouth of the cave. Jorge slid the van door closed and started up after me. We looked at our descent into darkness and popped a couple of roadside flares which bathed the walls in a blood-red hue.
I wonder if this is what entering the gates of hell looks like,
he said with a gulp.
Nah, it's probably something lame, like an elevator or something.
I scoffed sarcastically. Thankfully, after clambering down some steeper rocks, the cave leveled out to a manageable angle. It wasn't long before we hit concrete lining the floors.
Hey, man, I ain't been in a ton of caves, but I do know they don't have concrete floors in them. This is some weird shit, S.A.
Jorge clapped a hand over his mouth when his voice came back in a faint echo.
I told you, my old man helped on the security detail down here. This was a state-of-the-art government facility.
I nodded past him, and a security shack silhouette, ghostly form, barely stood out against the pitch-black background. I reached into a duffel bag and grabbed a road flare and two medium bundles and handed one over to my partner.
You ready?
I mouthed. He returned a solemn nod. I popped a flare and the cave burst into a rainbow of crimson hues. We lit our bundles and I tossed the flare ahead of us. The hornets had built onto the cave walls and narrowed the path. There was no way we could fit shoulder to shoulder. It would have to be a single file entry. Our bodies couldn't acclimate to the vibrations coming from the hive. I looked over to see my partner sweating bullets. Even in the cherry red glow, he looked pale. I got this if you want to turn back, I mouthed.
Jorge ain't no punk bitch, Ese.
He mouthed back and beat his chest with one hand.
I'm here to the end, cabrón.
A wide grin bloomed across his face, and that was it. He looked ready to take on whatever lay on the other side of the passage. I took the load and picked up the flare as we entered the pass. Halfway through, we found the doors to the control room almost completely sealed up. I found it odd that we had yet to encounter a single murder hornet. Were the bundles being that effective? I had no way of knowing yet. Both the poison clouds and the flare began to sputter in unison. I tossed the flare and bundle to the cave floor and pulled two of our larger bundles out. I popped our next flare as quick as I could and lit the sulfurous sticks. We were mere steps away from the Killer Queen's lair, and I wanted to be ready. Jorge popped a second flare. We pushed forward till we found the doors. We stood upon the main cabin threshold in a crimson cloud. A flurry of activity took place on the other side of the door. We gave each other a nod and pressed against the door. 2.5 decades worth of rust fought and squealed loudly in protest. A whoosh of air hit us as any remaining hornets that had been idle took flight. They formed a furious orange and black thundercloud against the cave ceiling. They looked poised to strike with the speed and power of a lightning bolt, and truth be told, I froze. Jorge dropped his flare into the duffel bag on his shoulder, which ignited every bundle he had. He dropped it onto the concrete floor and kick-shoved it through the doorway. At that exact moment, the swarm dove for us at an incredible speed. A giant plume of smoke erupted out of the bag in the nick of time. The mutated monster split and peeled away from the poison cloud. Any creature that passed through the cloud flew erratically and crashed after. The wet smacks gave me joy with each one. The swarm spiraled back together and left the cave through an old mission hatch. An oppressive silence fell over the cave. In the wake of the barrage to our senses, the stillness just felt wrong. We pushed through into the main chamber, and what we saw fractured something inside of us. An amber glow illuminated the cavern, but its source couldn't be found. It was like walking into a cathedral from the 1600s. Ornate spires constructed of human and animal bones decorated the cave. We scanned the walls to find crude pictures using bones, flesh, and other material to show a simple historical timeline. I stood there, lost in bewilderment.
History really is written by the victors, I said dryly.
A truism evident in nature, regardless of the species.
A scratchy voice like nails on decayed wood said,
Is that not Darwin's law? The weak shall perish, and the strong shall survive.
We scanned the area until we found her. The killer queen herself. My mouth fell open, and I felt something else inside me fracture. What I saw froze me in place. Standing atop a dome of bones was the biggest creature I'd ever seen. She looked like a small school bus with razor-sharp pincers and wings. A slimy liquid leaked from her mouth. A veritable throne stood behind her.
You are the first brave soul stupid enough to enter this chamber in well over 2 decades.
The scratchy voice came again.
Hey, man, I don't think my mask is working,
Jorge said, completely stunned.
The smoke is messing with my mind, eh? I think the bug is talking to me.
You're wrong, Jorge. I hear it too. But how is she doing that?
She's not talking, you simpletons. I am.
From behind the hornet's legs appeared a slight old woman in her late 60s or early 70s.
How the hell would a hornet talk? It doesn't have vocal cords, you blockheads.
Jorge and I looked at each other dumbfounded. Apparently, this old crow had survived the last 2.5 decades on piss and vinegar.
Who are you? And where the hell did you come from?
I barked loudly, completely forgetting about the giant murder hornet queen standing in front of me.
Why, I am the creator,
she said with a flourish.
Whoa, I always knew God was a woman, homie.
Jorge stated with zero sarcasm in his voice. The shock could be seen even through his mask.
I don't think that's what she meant, bro,
I said flatly.
Clearly, he's not the brains of your little operation. What a dumbass,
she grumbled.
I created the genetic modifications for the murder hornets. I am responsible for the most efficient killing machines this planet has ever seen.
Pure glee oozed from her voice, like she had solved world hunger and was accepting the Nobel Prize for it.
But how?
I said, aghast at what I was hearing.
And why?
The how is harder to explain than the why.
She condescended like we were a couple of kindergartners.
Humanity was always destined to be its own destruction. No matter what era in time you look at, you will always find violence and hatred. We draw lines in the sand and pick sides to argue for, be it race, religion, territory, money, ideals, or any one of 100 other arbitrary things. Mankind could never know peace, cause it can never accept difference.
In times of tragedy, you could watch humanity rally together and unite. Look at September 11th, for example.
I fired back. Who the hell made this woman a judge, jury, and executioner?
Your observation is naive and short-sighted at best,
she said as she waved her hand as if to knock my word out of the air.
What about all the racial profiling and violence inflicted on those who happen to look Muslim? Just like the racism against Japanese Americans during World War II.
Silence filled the cavern.
This is a flaw the hornets do not share with us. They work towards a common goal for the good of the hive. They move as a single unit, each filling their role.
I stood there horrified as this woman confessed to wiping out humanity.
You're literally insane. Weren't there family members, friends, hell, even co-workers that you didn't want to die?
I searched for any shred of emotion as I spoke, but there were none.
None,
she stated indignantly.
Even if I had, their lives are worth less than the husks of meat they occupied. There is only one civilization worth surviving, and they will be here soon.
I could feel the hum return to the air, an almost electric sense.
How were you able to live beside them?
I felt my hair stand on end. Jorge was freaking out. His head kept darting back and forth to be prepared for the attack.
Cause I see them for the beautiful creatures they are.
No. I mean, how have you avoided having the flesh stripped from your bones? Why have they not killed you?
I growled in anger.
You really are a moron, aren't you?
Her voice came out dry and flat.
I'm her mother,
she grinned.
Not long after her larval state, I held her quite often. She acclimated to my scent and became comfortable with me. As she grew, she began to become protective of me. My first test was to call in a janitor and type in the computer that he was a threat. The old man never saw it coming.
Her eyes practically glowed with delight.
Over time, our bond grew into the powerhouse we are now.
Her grin seemed impossibly wide. She made a series of hand signals to the queen and chuckled low.
I hope you came prepared to die.
Of course we did, puta!
Jorge burst out, but the quiver in his voice betrayed him.
Though we would prefer not to.
The swarm was on its way back to the cavern. I could feel it. I dropped one of the bags and popped one of the mag flares. I lit as many fuses as I could and hoped to build as big of a cloud around us as possible. Jorge followed suit. We were down to one duffel bag on my shoulder to kill the queen. A rush of air punched its way into the cavern and damn near knocked me backwards. A swarm of around 200 filled the den with a crazed ferocity I hadn't seen before. They seemed almost unhinged. The poison smoke billowing around was keeping them at bay for the moment, but I knew it wouldn't last.
We have to light the last bag and throw it over to the queen!
I screamed to be heard over the deafening hum reverberating off the stone walls. Jorge's eyes went wide with panic, and then the fear passed. He clapped his hand on my shoulder and gave a solemn nod. With the flare still spewing glowing red flames clutched in my hand, I dropped the duffel bag. Jorge tore it open, and I immediately pointed angry embers at the fuses. One by one, they ignited, and as the fuses disappeared, plumes of smoke rose up once the bag was fully lit. We each grabbed the front and back of the duffel, counted to three, and heaved the bag toward the queen with everything we had. It flew for what felt like hours. The swarm shifted from a chaotic frenzy to a veritable wall in front of the queen. It collided with the mass of insects and fell to the cave floor. Dozens of murder hornet drones threw their bodies at the bag in an attempt to keep the poison from reaching the queen. With her immense size, she was backed into a corner with no way to retreat. It wouldn't be long before our protective cloud faded, but if we got lucky, enough of the toxins would slither through the carcasses of the martyrs and kill the queen. One by one, the sulfur sticks began to fizzle out. This would be my end, an agonizing death just like my friends and family. They say your life flashes before your eyes when you're about to die, but it didn't. Just memories of those I loved during my life. The last image was of Alyssa sitting on her cot the night we rescued her.
she looked like an angel. I hope she knew how much I loved her. A murder hornet brush in my sleeve shook me back to reality. Jorge had popped his last flare and was waving it frantically, trying to keep the hornets at bay. I closed my eyes and waited for the searing jolt of pain that was soon to come. My heart was pounding in my ears and I felt the vortex of wind tightening its grip. I held my breath, waiting for the end to come. A loud, dull clang rang out as a hornet landed on my helmet. An enormous fireball belched forth a mere foot and a half in front of my face. The sudden temperature change was indescribable. Half a second later, a second fireball erupted just inches away from Jorge's face.
Where the hell is that?
My voice trailed off.
Holy sheep shit, Batman!
Jorge shouted as he ripped his mask off.
Hey, it's Darnell!
And Alyssa, I mumbled, stunned by what I was seeing. Twin tongues of fire snaked over our heads. An awful insectile shriek filled the air.
Well?
Darnell yelled.
What the fuck are you waiting for? A goddamn written invitation?
My feet began moving on their own. It was like someone had set them on fire and they were trying to outrun the flames. Jorge followed suit and was on my ass in a heartbeat. We sprinted beneath the fiery rainbows of flame towards the door. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the old crow waving her arms frantically, and she shrieked for us to stop. The cavern was quickly becoming a flaming tornado of insectile anguish, and I loved it. Alyssa ripped my mask off and kissed me as I made it to the door. She pulled me in and kissed me briefly, but deeply.
Not to kill the mood,
Shirley slurred.
But I'd rather kill the mood than get killed.
I'm inclined to agree,
Cato interjected.
Thank you guys for saving my ass, but I can't leave until I know the queen is dead.
My words were thankful and loving, but my face was full of steel and willpower. I grabbed the flamethrower pack and pulled it off Cato's shoulders and put it onto my own. My eyes turned to Alyssa and the nozzle to the pack in her hand.
I'll meet you on the surface,
I said with a wink. With that, I turned and opened the nozzle with one easy pull on the trigger. Searing flame spewed forth from the flamethrower with extreme prejudice. A chorus of screeching rose in unison with the flames. A sudden eruption burst into my peripheral vision. Darnell stepped forward on my left.
What?
He shouted, his voice full of annoyance.
You're not the only one who wants this bitch dead, you know.
His eyes darted back and forth between the flying demons he was blasting out of the sky and me.
Appreciate the help,
I shouted back, and we went to work. With their entire hive burning, all their coordination was gone. Every hornet was acting of its own accord, and that made for an insane, frenzied attack. With Darnell and myself working as a team, we had created a no-fly or die zone around us. As we approached the queen, ready to roast her, the crazy old lady appeared and brandished an assault rifle.
Get the hell away before I turn you to Swiss cheese,
she hollered as she waved the gun wildly.
I hate to use an instrument of the idiotic, but you two have left me without another option,
she snarled.
You do much target practice since the world went to hell?
I inquired. Little blasts of fire in the surrounding air kept the remainder of the hornets who hadn't been fried already off of us.
You really are dumber than a doorknob. I hate guns. That spell it out clearly enough for you,
she said in a tone meant for a small child. I smiled at Darnell.
Perfectly,
and gave the okay hand sign. We began walking, Darnell towards the old crow, and I headed for the queen. She raised the weapon to her shoulder, no clue about if she had it braced correctly. She didn't.
Stop! God damn you!
Darnell just smirked.
Enjoy the hot tub in hell, you son of a bitch!
She growled. She squeezed the trigger with a death grip, but it didn't budge. She tried again and again without success. Darnell stood a mere 5 feet from the woman, her face awash of disbelief.
Damn, I forgot my trunks. Let me know how the water is when you get there.
His grin stretching from ear to ear. The face morphed into a mask of fear as he pulled the trigger. Fire spewed from the tip of his gun and bathed her in the damnation she deserved.
Water seems a little warm. I'll sit this one out.
Her body collapsed into a smoldering heap as he released the trigger.
Aye, still pup,
Darnell hollered.
Finish it.
I nodded and turned to the unholy creation before me. The queen was frantic, head darting from side to side, antenna wiggling wildly and her jaw snapping at me.
Every kingdom falls, I said, readying my flamethrower.
Long live the queen.
With a tremendous whoosh, flame jettisoned out and met the killer queen head on. It shrieked and wailed. The last remnants of her subjects threw all their fury at me. Self-preservation went out the window, their only goal to stop me from inflicting pain on their queen. A heavy hand landed on my shoulder. It startled me out of my bloodlust to watch her die.
Let's get the hell out of here,
Darnell yelled.
She's toast!
I responded with a quick thumbs up.
Lead the way! I'll cover your six!
I yelled back. Speaking of backs, the load on ours was getting lighter by the second. We were dangerously close to empty. We fired pot shots. The exit was so close we could taste it. Darnell came to an abrupt stop like he got punched in the gut. A gut-wrenching scream filled the air as I ran into the back of him.
Darnell, what the...
I rolled him on his back to find three hornets latched to his abdomen and stabbing him over and over.
Get him off me!
Darnell growled through gritted teeth. They were in too tight to blast him off, so I heaved my right leg back and swung it. My size 11 boot caught one square in the ass. The force ripped the stinger free, and Darnell roared in pain. The second little bastard saw my foot coming and jumped just in time to latch onto my calf with its mandibles and barbed claws. It was now my turn to scream in agony. The bite strength on those bastards was incredible. For just a moment, it was the worst pain I had ever felt. Then it stung me. It felt like a bolt of lightning coated in fire and drowned in alcohol. My brain could not compute the level of pain that was flooding in. Autonomously, my hands moved to remove my belt from my waist. In no time at all, I wrapped it tight around the infected area. The pre-made notches from the tourniquet training my old man drilled into me almost daily were so ingrained in me, I wasn't aware I was doing it till it was finished. I ripped my knife from its sheath and plunged it through the hornet and into my leg meat. My pain receptors were so overwhelmed I didn't even feel the knife plunge in. There was no way to sugarcoat it. I would lose my leg from the knee down, if I'd managed to survive the next 5 minutes, that is. The same could not be said for Darnell. He would die here. Though he irritated the shit out of me, I certainly wouldn't have wished this upon him. He dropped the nozzle for his blowtorch and reached for a pair of items hanging from his belt. Grenades.
Get the hell out of here, steel pup.
His words bore every ounce of pain flowing through his veins, and his breathing was shallow and labored.
I know you're a good man, and that you'll keep our people safe now.
Our people?
I managed to croak out.
Yes, our people,
he grinned.
Now go. Shut the damn doors on the way out.
A metallic pin echoed as he popped the pins off the grenades and hit the cavern floor.
Go!
I yanked the blade out of my leg and with a stiff nod bolted for the door.
Every footfall felt like stepping on hundreds of electrified razor blades. I cleared the doorway and latched a hand on the lever-style handle and pulled with all my might. The steel-lined door slammed home. A small number of light thuds hit the door behind me. They were followed by a concussive boom that rocked the door. Everything in me wanted to open the doors and see what remained, but I didn't know how much of the venom might have slipped through before the belt was cinched down. So I ran. I was satisfied knowing the killer queen was dead. Taking out the psychotic scientist who brought a plague of biblical proportions to life in the process was a cherry on top. It took some time, but I finally made it out of the cave. Delivering the news about Darnell stung almost as bad as my leg. I hate seeing a woman cry. It just makes me feel so helpless. After arriving back home, Jorge removed my leg just above the knee. Between Shirley drowning it in alcohol and Cato searing it shut with a cast iron pan, I managed to survive yet again, though I don't deserve to. Alyssa and I eventually had children, a boy and a girl. The boy we named Doug after his grandfather, my old man, and the reason Alyssa and I are alive and together. Our daughter, we named Elena, after Alyssa's mother. In a crazy turn of events, Jorge and Shirley became an item and had kids of their own. Our numbers have grown little by little. We have had fewer and fewer attacks from the murderous hornets in our area. Without the queen, most of the swarm had moved on. Make no mistake, though, they are out there. We will fight to live as long as we can. I don't know if humanity will endure, but as for me, this is where I will end my story. My hope is for future generations to find our story and pass it down. I hope nature finds a way to take the world back from these flying demons, these nightmarish murder hornets. Good luck. This is Zeke, signing off. And that was Killer Queen 2 by DJ Montano. Remember, Part 1 is featured in Season 3, Episode 6, in case you want to revisit it. A little about the author. DJ the Big Tilde Montano is a huge fan of all things horror-related. He was drawn to the works of Edgar Allan Poe from a young age. Horror games like Silent Hill fueled his love for terror. He found writing through the suggestion of his wonderful wife and couldn't imagine his life without either of them. Check out DJ Montano on Amazon, friends. He's got a big new book entitled A Fiery Plunge into a Frozen Abyss. In this collection of tales, time will not be your friend. The fury of the elements, the sinister supernatural, and even hell itself waits for you inside this tome. Don't expect to leave the abyss unchanged, amigos. You can find it on Amazon with the link in the show notes, and expect an audiobook in about 2 weeks on audible.com, narrated by myself and Paul J. McSorley. You can find David Montano on Twitter at IntoDarkness49 and on Facebook as David Montano. No tilde there, just a regular N. Apparently, you can't show your big tilde on Facebook. Go figure. Hey, thanks, David. Always a great pleasure, my friend.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive.
all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, friend, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, and while you're out there, try to come up with some more drink for the road jokes, because I'm fresh out. So may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Hey, I'll see you all tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on the Crimson Hour. Until then, go fuck yourselves, friends. Ah, does that ever get old? I don't know. Maybe it does. But I still love saying it. Good night, y'all.
Heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.